Acts 26 this morning, beginning in verse 13. Paul, before King Agrippa, one of the governors of Judea at that time, he said, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we all were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, Well, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things in which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will yet appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Now that was the words of Jesus Christ. If you've got a red letter Bible, you'll know that difference. Amen. Hallelujah. "But whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then unto the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works worthy or meet for repentance." And this morning's message, if I could just give it a brief title, I'm going to call it, "If It Worked for Paul." If it worked for Paul, and I'll stop right there. You fill in the blank. If it worked for Paul, I do think it's going to work for you, and I think it will work for me, and I think it will work for this current generation. Amen. This morning's message, if it worked for Paul, and we'll stop there and ask the Lord to bless. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, again, I am so grateful for those that have gathered in your name this morning. Lord, we've just come through Thanksgiving week, and it's our heart that our people were thankful to the many blessings that God hath bestowed upon every one of us. In Jesus Christ, thank God, there is no partiality, but we're all equally loved and blessed in Jesus Christ if we walk with Him by faith. This morning, Father, we are asking you to fill this house, the house of our hearts, with your glory. Let your word come alive and enable the preacher to preach. Lord, I pray, give us a breakthrough in the Holy Spirit today. There are people here need a divine touch in their physical body, need a divine touch in their spirit inner man. Lord, there's a people here that just needs to be lifted up above the shadows today. And Lord, this morning we're just asking you to give us a service that we'll never forget. Father, we're just thanking you this morning. In Christ's name. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this song has been going on in my spirit for about the last day or two here. But you'll know what it is by the words. And it's really a song that is sung as a question. The song goes like this. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? That's a question in that first line of that song. Have you been to Jesus for His cleansing power? Amen? You know, I think a need that all of us have from time to time is once in a while, we just need to be cleansed. Once in a while, we just need to be washed with fresh water. Amen? Once in a while, we just need a trip back to the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Have you been to Jesus this week for His cleansing power? Amen. Glory to God. How do we know if we have been? Then we should have peace in our heart like a river. Amen? Oh, I have peace like a river, peace like a river. I should have joy like a fountain, amen? Hallelujah. My question this morning for all of us in this house, have you been this week, this morning, this moment to Jesus for His cleansing power? And then it goes on, for are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Thank God for His blood. Thank God for the work of the cross. Thank God for the goodness of God today in the land of the living. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Oh, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. You know, you and I that are born again, we've had a first experience or a first person experience in what that's all about. Amen. I remember the fall of 1984, the moment I repented of my sin and I fell asleep. That morning I got up. I was an old bar fly. That was my life, a weekend bar fly. That's what I was. But I'm here to say, I've been to Jesus that night. Oh, for his cleansing power. Oh, I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I received a new heart, a new spirit, because I was washed. I know what that cleansing power is all about. It's power to change a heart, power to change a drunk into a saint. Amen? It's the power of God to change a profane man and make him holy in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I'm here to say, if it worked for Paul, it still works today. Amen? If it worked for Paul 2,000 years ago, it saved Jeff Steiner 30 years ago. Oh, fill in the blank with your name. If it worked for Paul, it'll work for me. Hallelujah. You can do better than that. If it worked for Paul, it works for me, for you. Hallelujah. Thank God. Have you been to Jesus? For the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The next verse goes on like this. Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Amen? It's one thing, my friend, to be cleansed by the blood. It's another thing to be given a new heart and a new spirit. But let me ask you, are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Amen? You know, you get it all in Jesus Christ. When he comes into your heart and he saves you. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things of old have passed away and now everything has become new. Amen. But even with that, I ask you, have you daily walked with the Son of God who loved you and died for you and gave himself for you? Hallelujah. Are you daily walking by the Savior's side? Amen. Because when you've been to the cleansing power, when you've been to the blood, when you've come to the cross, if it worked for Paul, amen, it'll work for me. If it worked for Paul, it'll work for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you been to the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Glory to God. How do I know if I've been cleansed, Pastor? Oh, you'll know it, friend. You'll know it. I always say it this way. If we're born again, you'll know it. Amen. Amen. If you're saved, you'll know it. You know, I like the old Sunday school song. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, then you're like, your face will surely show it. I thought you will surely know it, close enough. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. I thank God I'm saved this morning. I was thinking about that this Thanksgiving week. Amen. I may have quirks and hang-ups and idiosyncrasies, and I got a long way to go in this thing called sanctification. But thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm washed. Thank God he loves me. Amen. Because if it worked for Paul, it's working for me too. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory. Have you been to Jesus for his cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? And do you rest each moment in the crucified? Oh, praise God. There's theology in that song. Amen? Amen. There is good theology in that song. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood? Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to Jesus. Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Rest, rest. God hath provided a rest for the child of God. Amen. And you know what it's rest from? Rest from religious works trying to justify yourself before God. You can rest in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you on Calvary's tree. A perfect justification, a perfect sanctification, a perfect righteousness has been given to you. You don't have to keep new moons, Sabbaths, holy days. You don't have to try to labor to earn the approval of God by what you do. You can rest in what's already been provided at the cross 2,000 years ago. All you got to do is believe it by faith. Amen. And if you can believe it by faith, the power of God will give you power and strength and goodness and glory and mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God you can rest in the crucified. You know, I've found it this way, but when you find rest in Jesus, you won't burn out. When you find rest in Jesus Christ, you'll fall in love with Him again. Amen? You know, I don't know about you, but have you ever been through some bad dating relationships back when? Maybe some bad marital experiences? But you spend your whole waking moment trying to make sure that person is going to love you, going to be nice to you, going to treat you good. Amen? And you burn out trying to love that person. Amen? I heard some amens in the house. Amen. So you know exactly, but you know, you don't have to do that with God. You don't have to try to earn His love. You don't have to burn out trying to wonder if He's upset with you today or not, right? Amen. You can just be who you are. And He will change you what needs to be changed. Amen. You can rest in His finished work this morning. Amen. You can enjoy Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. You can have fellowship with Him. Amen. He'll never give you a cold shoulder. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So have you been to the cleansing flood? Oh, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? When He comes, will your robes be white? The Word of God tells us, blessed is he that keeps his garments. How do you do that? How do we do that under the new covenant of grace? You know how you do that? By resting in what Jesus Christ has done by His shed blood for you. You and I, again, have been given a perfect, spotless righteousness in the Son of God. By your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you've been given the perfection of His Son to your account. When God the Father looks at the child of God, He sees you in Christ His Son. Amen? Amen. I like what the old preacher said years ago. He said, Saint, look past your 10,000 failures and look to the one who provides a perfect righteousness for you. Amen? Hallelujah. I know I'm not perfect in myself. I never will be. We'll never hit divine perfection in this life. But our perfection is in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross with your name on it. Amen? Hallelujah. When He comes, will your garments be found white? If we're in faith. In faith. He didn't say if you'd be in church the night the rapture takes place. That could happen. We could be gathered together in that trumpet blow. We could be in the middle of a hallelujah. We'll go hallelujah and we'll go luya up there. Amen. It could happen that quick. Glory to God. In the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. That word twinkling means in the fraction of an eye blink. That trumpet sounds, it's instant. This corruption will put off, this mortal will put off mortality, and will be clothed with immortality and incorruption. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go a little deeper into this, and then we'll move on. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Oh, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. For there is a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Do you feel unclean this morning? There's a solution for the unclean. Oh, just come to the blood of Jesus. Just come to the foot of Calvary. Oh, just receive Him by faith into your heart as Lord, King, and Savior. And Jesus Christ will give you His white garments. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And then the chorus goes on. Oh, are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What a question. Are you washed? Are you washed? Are you washed this morning in the blood of the Lamb. If I'm in religion, I'm not washed in the blood of the Lamb. If I'm trying to approach God through what I do, I am not washed in the blood of the Lamb. If I have a critical, judgmental, hateful spirit, I need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. If I got sin issues in my life, then I need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's victory in my Jesus. He's my Savior forever. Oh, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Oh, I loved Him ere I knew Him, and all my love it is due Him. For He plunged me into His victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Oh, there's victory this morning, folks. There is victory in the slain Lamb of God on your behalf. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to look for a few moments at the conversion of Saul at that time, who became the Apostle Paul. I love the stories of conversions. I think I love it because myself, I can relate to a dramatic conversion. Some of us, we just came to Jesus and you just believed and there was a change in your heart. Equally important. But some here have had a dramatic conversion and we can relate to Paul in some ways. I remember growing up as a teenage boy, running from God in my own way. I was a Lutheran boy. I thought I had it all. I thought I was saved. I used to say the Lord's Prayer every night, even when I was drunk. I would go to bed and lay in bed and I would say, recite the Lord's Prayer. You say, Pastor, maybe you were saved. I don't think I was. I think I had a knowledge of God. I think that Sunday school helped a little bit. Then there was just enough that God was dealing with me. But as the years went on, I began to realize how undone in sin I really was. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart. And I realized if there is a living God, if there was a real Jesus that had been risen from the dead, then He needed to do something in me. I needed an encounter with Jesus Christ because I couldn't go on the way I was. Amen. And God used a secretary at Panetti Yamaha in Fond du Lac in probably the late 70s into the early 80s to plant seeds in my heart. She would tell me this. We would talk about it. She was one of those born-again ones. Okay? And us guys, including the owner of the business, would talk behind her back how she's a religious fanatic and she's just out of control with this religious stuff. But she would tell me through that window, Jeff, you need to be born again. You need to ask Jesus into your heart. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm Lutheran. I was baptized as a baby. I got as much salvation as you got. Me and my cockiness, my sarcasm that I got from my dad. No, I got it from my own wicked heart. Amen. You know, folks, we got to stop blaming our parents for our sin. Amen. It's me. It's me that needs prayer. It's me. It's my sin. Amen. Okay. But as God would deal with me and draw my heart and bring in conviction, I'm here to say, the night that I came to Jesus Christ, I mean, I was a profane man from work on Friday. I got saved that Friday night. Through that weekend, I began to have encounters with Jesus Christ. And then by Sunday morning, Grandma had on Jimmy Swaggart already on TV. I thought, who's this nut? Amen. And I began to watch him, but I began to feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit for the first time in my life. I was a barfly. I was a barfly on Friday. Now I'm a saint on Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. I've had a conversion. Something has happened in my life. Hallelujah. Oh, I've been changed. I've been newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Yes, I've been changed. I've been changed. I've been down to that river. I've been baptized. I was washed by the blood of the Lamb. I was changed from this creature that once I was, and now redeemed is my name. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, the rest is history. One of the most precious pictures I have, one of them, is on our little mantle in our little living room area. I had the privilege of water baptizing my own dad in Green Lake. And there's a picture of me in younger days with a mustache, curly hair, I think, and praying on my dad because he was taking the plunge. My dad, who had given his heart and life to Jesus Christ. Struggled in the area of sanctification till his dying day. But I have to believe Jesus Christ saved his soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I love conversion. And Paul had a miraculous conversion. Paul, letters in his hands to persecute Christians. You know, these people from ISIS, I've heard some stories starting to come out now. Some of these members of ISIS, somehow the gospel is getting to some of them. And some of them are beginning to repent and find Jesus Christ as King, Lord, and Savior. Amen? Some of them are paying for it with their life, but some of them have abandoned and exiled themselves out of the country. But the beauty of it is that the Apostle Paul was as bad as one of those ISIS people. He was having Christians pulled apart. They were having them arrested. They were having them tortured, put into prison, and many of them put to death. But Paul, God wrote his last story, amen? And Jesus Christ appears to Paul on the road to Damascus. And in a vision, Paul falls off his horse. The power of God was present. And they're on the ground, and guess what's going on? There's a conversation going on between Jesus Christ and Paul, or Saul at the time. And Saul was humbled. Amen. Don't you love it when the man full of pride is brought low and he's humbled? He's got to eat humble pie. Come on. That's what makes movies good. That's why you like Clint Eastwood. The enemy would always be humbled at the end. Make my day. I wonder if Jesus was saying to Paul, come on, Paul, Saul, make my day. Amen. In different ways. Amen. But Saul had an encounter with the living God. I hope you know Jesus Christ is God. When Thomas, through his unbelief, when Jesus, after the resurrection, came and appeared to Thomas, and Thomas saw him, he said, I won't believe unless I can see him and put my hand into his side and put my finger into his nail prints. Jesus answered that prayer. And Jesus appears unto Thomas, and Thomas does what he's asked to do. He falls at his feet and he said, my Lord, my God, my Lord, my God. Folks, when's the last time we have fallen at Jesus' feet and we've confessed from our gut, you're my Lord, you're my God. Amen. And so Saul brought low, and Saul now has an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he says, who art thou, Lord? And then Jesus talks to Saul and says, it's hard for you to work against me, Saul. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, the goads. In other words, you can't win. I got your number, Saul. And Saul believed on Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that he became blind, scales on his eyes for about 3 days. And he was led by the hand. And then a man by the name of Ananias, Jesus speaks to him and says, go talk to Saul. Lay your hands on him because he's a chosen vessel unto me. And so Ananias goes as he's told. He argues with the Lord a little bit, but the Lord prevailed. The Lord always prevails. Thank God he always does. And Saul received his sight, and Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was saved a few days earlier, and now he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the Bible says he was baptized. Water baptism, three baptisms. Your baptism into Christ, infilling of the Holy Spirit, your baptism in the Holy Spirit. We go into water baptism as a testimonial that I am following Jesus Christ. And I want to mention that some of you have brought it to my attention. We can do a water baptism service anytime you're ready for it. Some of you have not been water baptized yet. You let us know. We'll get things going here for you. But now Saul has a new heart. And it ain't long. He's called Paul. And Paul now is given the new covenant. This man who was born out of due time, hand-selected by Jesus Christ himself. And we read of his testimony as later in his ministry, as his years are winding down and God is about ready to call Paul home. And Paul is standing before Agrippa, before one of the kings and governors of the province who had recently appealed to Caesar. And in this, Paul would say, he would tell them exactly what Jesus Christ told him. And Paul would tell them that Jesus Christ sent me to preach the gospel. And this is what the Lord told him to do. He said that the gospel would open their eyes. The gospel, if it worked for Paul, if it worked for the early church, if it worked for them back then, it'll still work for us today. Thank God we preach Jesus, we preach the blood, we preach Him crucified, we preach Him risen again, amen? We say that men must be born again, that your eyes must be opened by the truth of the gospel, and there's only one gospel truth that'll open your eyes, that is Jesus and Him crucified for you, and your need for salvation, hallelujah. Do you realize the world lies in darkness? Spiritual darkness today. That neighbor next to you that's so sweet they wouldn't hurt a fly. They're locked in darkness if they don't know Jesus Christ. Men locked in their religious traditions. They're in darkness. We got this mindset in the church. I believe anybody. I come out of Lutheranism. I do believe there are some people, some Lutherans, that do have true salvation because there's a genuine faith towards Jesus Christ. I believe there are Catholics in the Catholic tradition. I believe there are few in there that really do know Jesus Christ. They just haven't come out of it yet. I believe there are people in Methodism, and I believe in even Presbyterianism, whatever it may be, there are a few, scattered few in the masses of those people in those religions that may have salvation, but for the most part, until I know they're born again, and they've renounced it, and they've come out of it, and they confess that they're born of God through Jesus Christ, I treat them as if they're unsaved, and I will pray for their soul, hoping they'll come to the truth that'll make man free. Hallelujah. What did Jesus tell Paul through Paul the gospel would do? It's going to open the eyes of the blind, of the religious blind, of the heathen blind. Amen. Amen. That's what the gospel does. I should be looking at a people whose eyes have been opened. Amen. You can see. I tell you what, 25 years old, coming to Jesus. I'm a heathen on Friday. I come off a bar stool. I repent of my sins. I wake up the next few mornings. Everything is bright. Everything's exciting. My eyes were open. I could see. And I went back to the Lutheran church trying to tell them I'm born again. And they looked at me crazy and gave me a little one of their literatures and said, you're born again by your baby baptism. And I would write in there the real truth and I put them back in the rack. Amen. 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 Why? Because my eyes were open. And if your eyes are open, you can't stop talking about it. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what the gospel does, to open their eyes, Paul. And Paul, if it works for you, if it worked for you back then, it's still working today. You know the problem in much of the church, they're not preaching the blood. They're not preaching Jesus Christ. They're not saying He's the only way to heaven. They're not preaching Him as God. They're not saying that the only way you can get to heaven is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. My friend, you don't accidentally get to heaven. Everyone in heaven right now made a decision in time. You don't accidentally get to heaven. You made a decision that God recognized, that got your name entered into heaven's book. Amen. And every time you've rejected the gospel prior to coming to Jesus Christ, that's been recorded too. The Bible says the books were opened. And the dead were judged out of those things written therein. Amen. Think about it. The gospel opens your eyes. It opens your eyes. You can see. I remember the Fond du Lac Gospel Tabernacle. I mean, I'm saved. God told me right where to go to church. And they're preaching Jesus. And they're preaching the gospel. And there was a 2-3 year span in there where almost every Sunday, families would walk up and give their hearts to Jesus Christ. People coming out of Lutheranism, Catholicism, Methodism. Some come off the bar stool like I did. My God, lives were being changed. People were being saved. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. We don't even hear that term anymore. Saved. Lord. Saved. Saved from what? Saved from what? My God, the wrath of God. My Lord, I was hell bound. I was lost and undone without God and His Son. But thank God, the gospel that worked for Paul, the gospel that Paul quoted to Agrippa, he said, Jesus told me this gospel would open the blind eyes. It would open eyes that men can see. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And many in the church today can't see the real kingdom of God. If you've been in this a year or two and you still think it's okay to water baptize your babies for salvation, you're blind. You're bound. You're not free. You don't know the truth. You got religion. Well, mom and dad did it, and grandma and grandpa before them did it, and they're okay, and they went to church all their life. This has nothing to do with going to church, my friend. This has everything to do with the one Paul had an encounter with on the road to Damascus. When was your Damascus road experience? Because if you're born again, you're going to know it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. You know, by the way, when Paul was reading that, he was under arrest. What was his crime? Preach that truth. The true preacher that's preaching the gospel will be hated by the religious people, will be maligned, spoken against, hit by the powers of darkness and hell. Amen. Not just the preacher, but his family, those closest to him. Amen. Do you realize at the end of Paul's life, he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Others have gone their ways. Only Luke is with me now. Wow. Do you realize the closer Jesus got to the cross, the fewer there were that were following him? Can I honestly say this, folks? To you that have had your eyes opened, the more and the closer you get to embracing the cross of Jesus Christ for daily sanctification, the less people will be around your life. They'll find reasons why they don't like you. Well, you take that too far, Pastor. That's your problem. You don't take it far enough, and neither do we. We need to preach it more. It's the only thing that can make you free. Only thing give you a new heart. The only thing give you a new spirit. The only thing that can sanctify your life. We sang it. Do you walk daily by the Savior's side? How do you do that? You know, salvation is preached through the gospel, and it needs to be. The cross is preached for salvation. And we come to Jesus Christ, and that's how great church works and movements were birthed. We preached Jesus, and we preached the blood and the cross, and men need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Where do you think the assemblies of God were birthed out of? And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's where we got off track. We got in the door, but we've not learned how to live for God. How do we daily walk by the Savior's side? Because those same churches now, when you got some trouble, they're sending you off to the professional counselor at $100 an hour. They're medicating you with mind-numbing drugs. I'm going to say this carefully. I understand our times. There are times when something gets so whacked out in our physical body, we have to have some medications to balance some things out. I'm not talking about that. But in high school, we used to call them uppers, and we used to call them downers. Amen. What'd you call them? Reds and greens. I used to call them white cross. I heard there was, that was speed. Okay. Well, that's an upper. Amen. I just go to the expert. Oh, my sister, okay. Hey, listen. He got saved out of the marijuana, drug culture, and the alcohol culture. I got, you know, it was really funny in high school. We used to have the druggies, we used to have the elkies. The elkies were always better than the druggies because look how low they stoop. Those were the weed tokers, you know what I mean? Stokers and, you know, but us alcoholics, we were better than them, you know. When your eyes are open, now you can see how foolish that was. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There used to be uppers and downers, but all you need now is to walk daily in that blood shed for you by faith. You want to walk daily in victory, and the victory provided you in the cross? Every day, just take it up. Follow Jesus. How do I take up my cross? Every day, I believe that blood provided me benefits. And those benefits, I'm going to believe by faith. And because I'm believing those benefits by active daily faith, I am walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in Jesus Christ. He is enabling me to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the longings and desires of my flesh. Amen? And I'm finding a power and a mercy and a grace and the peace of God that rules our hearts because we have learned through the message of the cross what Paul taught. That's what he was trying to get the early church to understand. That's why they hated him. That's why they wanted to crucify him. We're preaching Jesus resurrected. Well, Paul was saying we're preaching him crucified, which is everything, including the resurrection. No resurrection without the crucifixion. And had not the crucifixion been accepted by God, there would have been no resurrection. Resurrection is a byproduct of the cross. Paul went one step closer to the real source of it all. Amen. We don't demean the resurrection. I believe in resurrection life. I thank God we're all going to be resurrection. We're looking for that resurrection day, the rapture of the church. It's going to happen. It's going to come. Amen. My God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said to Paul, this gospel you're going to preach about me, Paul, it's going to open blind eyes. It's going to turn them from darkness to light. Darkness to light. Thank God. We were once darkness. Now we are light in the Lord. Amen. You know what the Bible says about darkness? It says that men, John 3, you can read it. It's right after the one. We quote it all the time. John 3:16. God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten. Read a few more verses. Read that thing in context. But men don't want to come to that light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And if they come to the light, it means they got to stop doing the very thing they enjoy doing that's been fulfilling their flesh. So they stay in the sin. They love the darkness. As a true blood-bought, born-again child of God, my friend, there's something in me that if I get mingled in a little bit of darkness, there's something in me that's I don't want that. I don't want that. God, give me grace, give me strength, give me help. That I don't be consumed by my old life. I don't want my carnal nature. I don't want my sin nature to revive again. Amen. Can I tell you something? That's what Paul's whole letter to the Galatian churches was all about. They knew the truth. They were preached the very thing we're talking about today. They believed it for a while. They found great joy and victory in the finished work of Jesus. And guess what? The Judaizers come and say, yeah, but is this not all? It's not all grace, grace, grace. You still got to do some things. You still got to have your boy baby circumcised. That's like today we say, well, we still got to infant baptize him, you know. No, we don't. Paul said when we go back into those things, we sin against Christ. We make ourselves again a transgressor. When I get off the path of faith in the finished work of the shed blood of the Son of God, and that is where I'm to park my life and park my faith there, and I'm to walk every day by the Savior's side in that simple truth. Amen. Then I'm free from religion. I'm free from bondage. I'm free from addictions. I'm free from all things. But by the end of Galatians, they were picking up the works of doing things again to be justified by God. And Paul said, you've fallen from grace. And then by the end of that book, he's telling them how the works of the flesh are taking over their life and their church life again. Now you're devouring one another. Now you're hating one another again. Now you're judgmental towards one another again. Now you're being overcritical again. And there's hatred and strife in your midst. And you're ready. You're at the edge of a church split. Read it yourself. Read between the lines a little bit. It's there. Amen. Your flesh, you and I are no match for our flesh. But there's a power greater than my flesh. It's called Jesus Christ and Him crucified for me. And the Holy Spirit has opened my eyes and brought me out of darkness into the glorious light of His kingdom. Hallelujah. And then He said to deliver them from the power of Satan to God. That neighbor of yours I was talking about that likes to bring you Christmas cookies over and just so sweet. If she doesn't know Jesus Christ and she has not come to the blood, then the power of Satan has her heart locked up. She is lost. Thank God there's a power that can break that stubborn obstinance. Thank God that Jesus Christ, listen, if it worked for Paul, won't it work for us? If it worked in the early church, won't it work for the latter church? Won't the same message Paul preached work for us today? Hallelujah. You say, well, you preach it, Pastor. You preach it, Pastor. Well, I'm seeing people coming freer. I'm seeing people with the joy of the Lord. I'm seeing people know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We are seeing people, hallelujah, touch with the truth. Amen. Oh, we're not perfect. We got a long ways to go in this thing called sanctification. Let me wind this thing down. I can see you're getting hungry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, my gospel is going to open their eyes. It'll turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. You don't think that's important? The Bible says, Romans 5:1, therefore now being justified by faith, we have peace with God. If I have peace with God because my sins are forgiven, then I'm not an emotional wreck. I have peace. Peace with God. Because I'm justified by faith. Amen. Half the trouble in the church, the reason half the pastors got to send them off to the psychiatric farm is because men have not come to the cleansing flood. They've not brought their sin to Jesus Christ. They've not repented and turned to God. They've not asked Christ to forgive them. They've not confessed their sin unto God. They hold on to it. They justify it. It's called iniquity. That's why they have no peace. No peace. No peace. My God, we got to come clean. The provision is made. The gospel is finished. Amen. We're trying to counsel people. You can't talk termites out of wood. That's all counseling can do to the most part. I've always said it this way. Instead of spending your $100 an hour, just find a good friend. Have a cup of coffee. Say, brother, I'm struggling. Will you pray with me? Amen. Amen. And you'll find peace. It worked for Paul. Amen. It worked for Paul. Amen. What I'm reading to you are the words of Jesus Himself. My gospel will open the blinded eyes. My gospel will forgive sin. My gospel will deliver from the power of darkness and turn you to God. My gospel, hallelujah, we're bringing from darkness into light. Can I say it this way, folks? The gospel works. Amen. Amen. You know why preachers don't preach it no more? You can't fill a church with it. The offerings go down. Everybody wants God until you deal with their heart. And all of a sudden you realize, well, I didn't come here for that. I mean, if I'm going to be right with God, I got to come clean with God? Yes. Amen. Everybody wants a position in the church, but nobody wants to come to this altar and make things right with God. And when things are right with you and God, you'll be right with you and men. Amen. There's no shortcut here. Whether great or small, rich or poor, ignorant or highly educated, we all come the same way. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I've done that before, Pastor. Then keep doing it until you get that breakthrough. No, the gospel works, my friend. Let me close down here. Jesus speaking. He said, not only give them forgiveness of sins, but an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The words of Christ. An inheritance. An inheritance. I want to tell you how powerful the work of the cross is. In our years of sin, we've gained some things, but we lost a lot. We've lost reputation, maybe finances, job opportunities, career opportunities, that had we been walking in the light, walking with Jesus Christ, maybe we wouldn't be in the predicaments that we find ourselves in. Amen? Come on, I say this so carefully. I mean, I realized looking from my teen years, I say this carefully, but I ended up in the wrong marriage. That's why I didn't last back then. But the beauty of the finished work, the beauty of that is that Jesus Christ restores and redeems. And if you walk with Him, if you will be clean with Him, He will put your life back together. But Pastor, I'm in a circumstance bigger than me. I'm in a prison circumstance. He is bigger than the prison doors. Don't you remember? He sent an angel one time and brought Peter out of a prison. If God can do that, if He can help Peter walk on water, don't you think Jesus can do the same? Amen. God will do surgery in your life. It may be painful for the moment. Weeping may endure for the night, but there will be joy in the morning. Folks, can I say something very careful? In the rearranging process of Jesus Christ in your life, when you come to proper faith in Christ, it doesn't always happen this way, but sometimes God has to so radically begin to rearrange the furniture of somebody's life. From you and I looking from the outside in, we may go, oh my God, what is happening to that person? And friend, it's sometimes we get on that bandwagon and want to judge them because, well, if they were really right in God, they wouldn't be going through this. That wouldn't have happened to them. That is not true, my friend. Hallelujah. Those men and women of God in that early church were despised, they were hated, they were persecuted, they were judged, they were mistreated, misunderstood, but they had something from heaven. They had something living in their heart. They had something from above that was in them, greater than what it was they were going through. Amen. I'm here to say God will put everything back together in your life in due time, but you got to walk daily by the Savior's side. Amen. Hallelujah. To give them an inheritance. We inherited joy, peace, mercy, grace, strength, power, love, a sound mind, a hope, a future, an eternity with God. We'll never know the fires of hell. We're ever going to be with the Lord. A new body is coming. Brother Roger, a new body is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Down the road, it's coming. It's coming for all of us. My God. It's going to be so glorious one day that you and I, this life won't even enter into our mind anymore. The Word of God says, and the former things were not remembered. There's a few things I'd like to forget about in this life. Amen. Amen. But meanwhile, enjoy the journey. Paul said, Jesus, through Paul, said that we get and receive an inheritance. And then he talked about sanctified by faith. That's where the modern church has missed it. We preach the cross as it regards salvation and need to. That's what brings you to Jesus Christ. That's what justifies you by faith. But now that you're in Christ, every day you begin to walk by faith in the sanctification process of God by your daily faith in Jesus Christ shed blood for you now. And if I'll put my faith there, then God is ever working in my life. You can't mature in the Lord. I don't care if you've been saved 75 years. You can be a babe in Christ if you don't understand the cross. And how do I know if you understand the cross? Because I should be able to ask every one of you here personally. And I might do that one time. I won't do it today. But when you ask somebody the question, what is the cross? The knowledge of the cross, the message of the cross. What change has it made in your life? It should be, you should have an answer. Brother, oh my God, this is what it did for me. And if you can't answer that, you don't understand sanctification through the blood of the cross. And that message will be an agitation to you. Amen? Instead of redemption to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's close. They may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout all the coasts of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. In other words, what Paul said, now that they have that truth, there should be evidence of repentance, true salvation, and there should be proof that Christ is living in their heart. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. Amen. Thank God for His truth. Thank God if it worked for Paul, it'll work for us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to ask musicians to come up this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The gospel works, friend. Amen. Will you believe it? Will you believe it? Well, Pastor, I believe it. Then you'll teach it. Then you'll preach it. Then you'll agree that the power of God is through the blood. Amen. And there's been a change in your sanctification process. Thank God for His cross, for Jesus in His shed blood, for His goodness. I'm going to ask the elders to come this morning. Elizabeth, honey, Greg, Arlene, Carl, Sister Ann. Who else do we got here? Roger, if you feel strength. Roger and Joan. Okay. If you have a need in your life, the gospel will work for you. There's nothing that you're facing right now that is a match for Jesus Christ. He can take on that need. He will bless you. He will make you free. The power of God is here. It is present in truth. Amen. And as we come to this altar this morning, if you have a need, a request, something you need from the Lord, you may need a healing, you may need a financial breakthrough, you may need a touch in your marriage, you may need God to move on a lost loved one, whatever that need is, God knows. And I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. As we come and believe the Lord, as we finish out this service, you have a need, but I'm here to say the gospel Paul preached will still work for you today because it's still working for me, even up to this very hour. Amen. Let's come to this altar. Let's come. Hallelujah. Do we have a song? Do we have a song? Almost. Come on, let's come to this altar. Amen. We'll sing in our hearts until they get something together here. Hallelujah. Let's come, let's come, let's come. Let's let Jesus meet your every need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's come. Let's come. Do you have a desire in your heart, an unfulfilled desire, a prayer request, a need? Do you have something you're asking the Lord for? Then come and agree. Let the elders agree with you. Let's pray together. Let's let the Lord touch us. Let's let the Lord redeem us. Hallelujah. The gospel that worked for Paul will work for us. If it worked back then, it'll still work today. If you have a need, let's come. Don't be ashamed. Don't hold back. Let's take a step of faith and let's come to this altar. Let's believe God today for great things in Jesus Christ. Come to this altar. Let's come to this altar. Anybody else this morning, you have a need in your heart, need in your spirit. God will give you a breakthrough. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll touch you. He'll meet your need right now. Come on. Come on. Anybody else this morning, come on, let's come to this altar. It's your opportunity. Let the Lord meet you by faith. Let's come, let's come, let's come. Anybody else this morning, any needs? The Lord this morning. Look, let's come. Let the Lord draw your heart, your spirit. Amen. Grow strange.